destroyed there. And so yeah, I asked him one day, where did you get ice from? So he said, well, no, we don't make it in Crowley. We get stored in a warehouse over there. So he said, well, I haul it from Memphis to Crowley and store it, and then from there distribute it out to the neighborhood. So I said, So I thought, well, Memphis must be a big place. I had never been to Memphis, you know. I said, it must be big. He said, yeah, it's a big city. Oh, okay. I said, well, maybe they have a music store or something like that where they sell guitars or something. He said, well, I don't know. He said, I just go there and pick up ice. But I'll check for you. And I said, okay. If you do, see if you can find me a book or something on the guitar. So he said, all right, I'll check. So he come back with a little book. He had gone to the music store and bought me a music book on the guitar. And he had brought it back. Then he saw me and said, I found the book on the guitar and I brought it back. So how much the book? $3. Well, I didn't have $3. You know, so he got it. That was like $100 for change of $3. You know, he said, well, you know, you go ahead and keep the book. Whenever you get $3, you pay me, you know. So I've always been a type of person, I didn't like the old people, so sometimes so I try to figure, Jesus, I gotta pay this money. So one day he came by the house and I said, listen, now what about me working for you? You know, he said, what are you gonna do? I said, well, you know, I can't carry 100-pound ice, but I can carry 25 and 50 pounds, so that's the way they sold it at the time. 25, 50 pounds, or 100. You know, I said, I'm gonna ride on the ice truck. And, you know, today, take the ice into the people's houses all day with you. So he said, oh, you wanna work, yeah? And then I'm gonna pick that book. So he said, oh, okay. So then I rode with him on the truck. We rode up out there, and he didn't make an order, you know, the place. So well, give me 50 pounds. He'd tell me, well, it's 50 pounds. I'd go out there, pick ice, pick 50 pounds off. You know, they had it marked, you know, just break it. And then take the ice pump, pick it up, bring it in, sit in the car. And at the end of the day, you know, he said, well, he said, you got that book paid, so you ain't got to work on the road. So I said, oh, okay. So from that point, that was just the Chinese, that book was just Chinese to me, looking at it and, what are you talking about? Trying to read it and trying to understand. You know, it's like kind of like American looking at a Chinese book and trying to understand. So my mind just told me, well, all you do is just keep reading it. Over and over, maybe, you know, I didn't have anybody around to help me. So I just kept reading the book. But I did find one thing that they said it made sense to me that I didn't know, that the guitar was the same as a piano. It's the same instrument, it's a string. And it's the same instrument they got down at the church, you know, at that time, most of the pianos were at the church, organ. So I found out, all guitars are strings, just like them. They're the same, basically the same instrument, you know, just that the other got more keys on them. Then I found out how to tune the guitar because I had it in that book, you know. The notes, you know, like the string name, E, you know, A, D, G, D, and E. And then it showed in the book what key you should hit on the keyboard to, and then the string on the guitar, they should match, the sound should match. It was pretty simple there because it's like an echo. If you say, you know, years ago, you can't hardly find it today, but years ago, I could call her, and you would hear the voice two or three times after that, you know. What's your name, young lady?
Flo.
Huh?
Flo.
Flo? So if you said Flo, you hear again, Flo, Flo, Flo. You know, you ever live in the mountain area where you hear that? Yeah, well, that echo means that the voice matches up. That's what the book is telling me. Keyboard. Hit the keyboard and tune the guitar, when they got right, you would hear that echo, the strange echo. And so we were used to that. We was, at that time, a lot of trees and wood. goes around, you can either holler at somebody and you can hear your voice two or three more times. But anyway, when I had to go, man, you couldn't take that guitar in the church. Oh man, people get tagged you up. You're gonna get a whipping out of this world. They kick you up in that church with that guitar. They didn't allow a guitar in the church. Now, the piano's in there, but the guitar, I don't know. See, blues artists were playing guitar, and they said it was the devil's. This was the devil's instrument, and the other one was God's instrument. So they wouldn't allow you up in the church with a guitar at the time. So by me knowing that book said that I could tune the guitar by going there to that piano. So I didn't know anybody that had a piano except I knew one at the church. So what I did, I went and got two other boys. And I said, listen, we're gonna get down into the church. Now at that time they didn't lock the doors of the church, you know, everything was open. I want y'all going out in the church with me to get church. You know? I had one boy with me to stand outside and watch. He was watching me and the other one come in, and one, he hit the keyboard, you know. The book said, hit this key right there, and then I tuned the guitar when he got that echo, he was writing on it. So that way, the boy outside told somebody coming, we could run out the back door and hide the guitar. But nobody happened to come up, but if it did come up, that's what he got that for. He saw it, and then he duck coming towards the church. He tell somebody coming to run out the back door. They didn't give up being in the church, just they once had a guitar in there. So we can go out the back door, hide it, you know, and just be there. But that's how they tuned. And then I had to be disciplined, I had to be at the radio station. They had the radio station out of Helena, Arkansas called Hengisten. They played the blues for 15 minutes. Every day. So that meant you had to be, that's the only way I ever hear the blues. We didn't have no record player and tapes and all that. So I had to be at that radio every day at 12. They played three songs of blues. Now, you had to make sure you had nobody kept you. So you had to lay there with your ear in the radio. You know how you can feel like they play something, you feel, oh, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, you keep listening. And you finally say to yourself, oh, just I can do this. Well, now you got to remember the whole thing. See, they won't play the same song tomorrow. Now you got to memorize it here in the computer so that you got to crack on because you thought you could do it. So that's what I did. I memorized the whole song. How the music going, but you have to memorize it yourself because it might be 3 or 4 days, maybe a week before they play that same song again. So that means you can't practice, so you have to remember. So I just remembered and worked hard to remember how it went. And each day, I didn't try to do anything but work on that song. You know, and of course you're gonna have a lot of problems with your family. My family run me out of the house. Beat on the guitar and wasn't sounding very good, you know. So they run me out of the house. But I determined I'd go right around outside the house with the guitar, fuck on it out there. So I had some sisters. I didn't have any brothers, just four sisters. They run me out of the house. Well, my parents taken up from after running out of the house. And I'm around outside of the house, still trying to play. Then they would come out there and try to get me to stop me from playing outside the house. Then my parents would take up the knock. And y'all read him out of the house. But he ain't sounding very good. But since he around inside the house, he ain't bothering anybody. Leave him alone. He might not know to play it, but let him do what whatever he wants to do with it. But he might not play it, but leave him alone. So. And so by me doing that, eventually one day, I did get a little of that song together. Then I saw my sister at my feet. What are you playing your foot for? Oh, you're sounding pretty good. And from there, I started to grow. And in said, "Would you like to work?" You know, and I said, "Yeah, please." Well, because I got a kid down the road. I need $20 to play on Saturday night. So be a kid, and all, and I agreed. He said, "Well, I'll talk to your parents about it." So I knew my parents were going to reject it, so I wasn't worried about that. So he did, and my parents said, "Well, if you want to do it, then you can do it." So I come and get him, you know, because he had only about 12, 13. So I ain't driving nothing, you know, so he come and get me. Take me down there, and I play about 2 hours. Bring it home, with $20 was a whole week's work for my parents. They would make $18 all week. And I'm gonna make $20 on Saturday night. So that was a lot of money. And so I started doing that, and then later on the band come by one day. They heard me playing by myself. And they wanted to hire me for 2 nights a week. Now I'm getting $40. You know. Because we're gonna work 2 nights, I was gonna work in one. And from there, it just kept going.
What was the first song that you managed to play?
I've been so long, I don't remember the song. But, you know, I don't even know if anybody could remember the song at this point. But we're talking almost about 60 years ago. It's hard to remember. What song it was, but it was kind of a simple thing, you know, but I don't remember the song. If I ever thought it would be important, I would have written it down. Yeah.
Do you remember which blues singers were you heard on King Biscuit Radio?
Well, they were called, I don't know the guys by name, but that's what the band was called, King Biscuit. That was a group name. There was three of them, and they called King Biscuit, but now I never didn't know him individually to know each one, any one of his individual names. Because I only heard him over the radio at the time we had the radio. And that's the only thing I know, that the name of the group was King Biscuit Boys.
And what did your parents do?
We was a farmer. We worked on, we lived on the farm. Same as me, I lived on the farm all my life. Up until I got grown, then I moved.
What was it about the guitar that made you want to play it so much? And why did you dedicate yourself to this one instrument for so many years?
Well, because, you know, like I said, at the time, when we were kids in my childhood days, your parents gave you something. You felt so proud. It's a little bit different today. You felt so proud that you wanted to show them the best you could. Because they gave it to you, you felt too, like they want me to be the best I can be at this. And so whatever it was, whether it was an instrument or something else. And so kids kind of felt like, this is what my parents would like me to do. I'm the best child I can. And that's what, you know, encouraged me to try to get y'all to come. My father gave it to me. And I know he wanted me to do the best I could with it. And it might not have been satisfactory to him, but it may be the best I could do. He would be proud if I'm doing the best I could do. And using it as much as possible. And that's where my parents were. They got to see, oh, Jesus, he was working on that guitar day in and day out. So that was very encouraging to him, because he felt he's going to get it one of these days. Maybe I might not live to see, but he's going to get it, because he determined to not throw it away or throw it in the closet or add up or whatever, you determine to try to do it, because I gave it to him.
And what do you remember about, I guess, Jim Crow at that time?
Jim Crow? What do you mean when you say Jim Crow?
This isn't a depression, I'm told.
Racial thing? Oh, okay. I never had a problem with racial. Even though I was a kid. Okay. Now, when you're saying racial, you're talking about between black and white, right? You don't want me to ride in that van with you, right? I'm just using expressions here. You don't want me to ride in that van? No, to me, I don't care. You know, I mean, when you say y'all in that band, but you don't want me in there because I'm black, right? And then me, I didn't care. Good, don't write in there. I care. I would get in there anyway. That's how I feel all my life. You don't want me around you? Good. I ain't got no problem. I don't want you around me either. You know, so we said Jim Crow. That's where I felt, and therefore, people's life, Jesus Christ, man, he's different from everybody else. Even back at that time, you know, even when all of the racial things were created, at, I was different. So a man tell you, I walked in a store one day, some people were talking about this. Voices, they were talking about black, and I happened to walk through the door. And the guy said to the other guy, he punched him in the side and said, he said, hey, he said, maybe we should cut this conversation off. I said, the man owned the store, he said, why would I? He said, black guy just walked in. And the man that owned the store knew him real well. He says, no, he ain't no black, he ain't black. People look and say, Jesus, what are you talking about? The man said, he ain't black. Meaning, he don't care what you're talking about. I know him. He don't care. And so if what you talking bad about him, good, he don't matter, man. That's what he was telling the guy. No, he ain't black. He was just saying, Jesus, why are you making that guy sit there? And after the man explained to him, he said, you don't have to worry about him. He don't care what you talk about or don't talk about. He don't care. He don't make him any difference. He don't do whatever he wants to do. And so people got to know me. That's what you're saying. They got to know me. Then a white kid would come over the house, wants to play the guitar. Because they said, he's different. He don't care. He'll teach you how to play for what little he knows. He'll share it with you. He'll share it with the other person, whatever. So that's what I had back there. Kids like coming over to the house. All three kids would come. And then it kind of shook the neighborhood. The people said, Jesus Christ, you know, he spends much time with the white kids he do with the black kids. You know, Jesus Christ, he's trying to teach everybody. You know, and of course that all hit the papers and stuff. And that was what I found it, because it don't bother me about my race. You know, I never had a problem with that. You don't want me to come to your house, I ain't got a government. You know, see, I used to work with a man that had a plantation. And he liked that bother me real fast. He'd tell me today, he said, look, why don't you come to work tomorrow? You know, well, he had a store right here, his house right there, and a store right here. Okay? So I'm coming to work tomorrow. So when I be giving me the address at such a time, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever time it was, I come. And I do just what I did. I'm there sitting on the store, on the porch of the store, right? The house right there. He's in the house. Well, at the time, people go knock on the door, we can't go to the back door because we're talking the racial thing, right? You can't go to the front door, you go to the back door. So I didn't go to no door at all. I come out here and sit right on the store porch. And I'm getting paid from 7 o'clock to whenever you come out of the house. I'm getting paid. That's the way I figured it. Stay in there all you want. Stay all day. I'm going to sit out here and watch all day too. And I expect to get paid for the day. You told me to come down here. So I did doing that. One day, I'm sitting out there for about 3 hours. He never come out of the house. I never got the story. He said, I'm not fool. And he did come out. And he said, oh, he said, I told you to come to work down here. So you told me to come to work. I said, but you never came out of the house. So he laughed, saying, you never came to the house. No, I ain't come knock on the door. You want to me to come down here. But he went over to mom, dad. He said, Jesus Christ, that boy's smart. So my mom and dad got a little upset because they thought I got smart with him. He said, no, I don't mean he got smart with me. He comes down there and I told him to come to work. And I didn't come out of the house. He said, well, I don't ask. Did he expect to get paid for all the time he said that? He expected to get paid. And I'm going to have to pay him because he right. He right up at the fan because I didn't get a come to the back door of my house. I told him to come down and work. He got me. You know, and so after that, it was kind of funny. I would go after that, I would go to him and say, hey, you got anything to do today? And he'd say, nah, we ain't got anything to do. So I had a friend of mine, but he was a grown man. But he lived down the road a little bit. And so me and him were pretty tight, but I like to hang around with older, you know, older people. And he was, he wasn't an old man, but I'm talking about he was grown, you know. And he's probably about 35 or something. So I go down there and get him, and I said, Mr. Wolfie, that's the man. Got no work, you know, we broke, ain't got any money. So he said, man, it's raining, it done rained yesterday, but we're on the farm. I said, yeah, but he might have something with the rest of the guys. So he said, well, okay, I'll go with you. So we go up to the store. He come out to the store and said, now help us. Well, we came up and said we had a little something we could build that so we could work today or something. And he said, nah, this ain't nothing going on. It's been raining, the water's still not out in the field, you know, and then we leave. And I go get my friend the next morning. I said, that's nice again today. He said, we just did yesterday. I said, yeah, but it may be different today. You might have some today. He said, so me and brother had. He said, no, we ain't got nothing going on. So next day, I said, I go get him again. Let's go back up there. So the third time we went up there, he made a mistake. You see, and I was all up on it. He said, Jesus Christ, he said, y'all want to work, don't you? Yes, sir. He said, Jesus, because he had come, we come 3 consecutive days in a row. He said, you don't want to work. I said, yes, sir, I want to work. He said, I tell you what, you ain't the man's name, Willie Garner. He said, you and Willie Garner got a job, rain or shine, sleet or snow. Oh, man, I caught that, rain or shine, sleet or snow. Me and him left the store, I went on over to a friend of mine's and played this, and got the young lady here in her house, and I went over there and played all day, played dominoes, whatever, night, played games, whatever. That Saturday, I went and got my friend, and I said, listen, William, you gotta go get our check. He said, what check? We didn't turn all week. No. It was all I got to feel. No, we ain't getting nothing. But we, you know, we had a job, rain or shine, sleet or snow. He said, yeah, Mr. Alton said that. I said, well, he shouldn't have said it. He didn't want to do it. Let's go get our money. But he felt like, hey, he's going to give it to us. I said, well, I'm going to see you and get my check. So I go up to the store and he sent back to the store. So I came in and he said, could I help you? I said, yes, I'll come to pick up my check. And he said, did we do anything this week? We didn't work 9 days this week, did we? I said, no, sir. I said, but you know, you said I had a job, rain or shine, sleet or snow. It rained all week today. They make it. He said, oh my Lord. Yes, sir. I'm going to pay. Now that means you got to pay every week for the whole 52 weeks of the year. I put my foot in my own mouth. I don't know about that, but you said I had a job, rain or shine. Don't make a deal what's going on. We working. So he paid the whole, you know, he paid us every week for the whole year. But then I go tell the man, you know, then I said, listen, I said, now we're going to have to do something now, and you know that. He said, yeah. He said, he's going to make sure we do something. I said, yeah, we're going to have to work rain the shack. He was so too, but you know. But it was kind of fun, you know. We weren't ready to work in the rain. We go, he said, way over there, you know, across town, say, like, way over there. We can't do nothing. But he sent us over there and said, hey, I'll go and see what y'all can do with that field and I'll see what y'all can do with it. We go ahead. Just hang out all day and come on back. You can't do nothing. You can't make water run and this over in the city this high. You can't make it run off the land. But we go over there, you know, he said, y'all go over there and see what y'all can do. He didn't really go and look. He said, man, the ditch is all full of water. Full of water. So ain't nothing we can do, you know, so we go over there, stay a few hours, you know, talk, and come on back, go right back tomorrow and do the same thing. But it was the idea that we were just being sent out because he made that statement, praying and shouting.
How old
were
you when you did this?
Huh?
How old were you then?
Oh, about 14, 15.
Yeah. And how did you get away with that?
Huh?
They kind of...
Well, let me tell you, the reason to get away, see what you have to do in life, that even that's today, don't do a lot of talking, you just listen. See, when he makes a mistake, be able to catch that mistake and hold him to that. That's the key point of life. Pay attention to what the other person said. And he may or not have meant it, but since he said it, and you can hold him responsible for what he said. You know. And within the law it says, now if you tell him you're gonna do something, now you can see it sometime in the court system. You told him something?
Yeah, I told him.
I didn't mean it. You told him. You see, so it's kind of like a law. You told him, you should do it. You know, see. And so that's what my thing is. That's just like some of the kids will say. Some of